Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference. And I have a super important interview today with a distinguished guest, a very successful practitioner. It's Dr. Dan Pomper. For those who don't know Dr. Pomper, he's a respected leader in the field of health and wellness. He trains practitioners as well as the public on the origins of inflammation-driven disease. He works with ancestral-based approaches, ketogenic diet, fasting, and he's really got, really, I would say, one of the world's leading experts on cellular healing and detoxification. And, you know, his program, I say, is divinely inspired for sure. So, Dr. Pomper, thank you so much for being part of the summit.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's an important topic.
It is truly. And, you know, I actually just had my mother go through your program earlier in the year. And I think it's amazing how you put the program together. But I wanted to ask you about your own experience, because obviously this is a conference about trauma. But a lot of people don't realize that they could be having a lot of mental health symptoms because they are actually toxic. And you talk in your program, and I've heard some of your story where you talk about thinking you had Mad Hatter's syndrome. You've gone mad as a hatter. Can you share your personal story?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's actually when I thought, my gosh, this is me. I have every one of these symptoms. I mean, I was mad as a hatter. Unfortunately, I did a blood test, because if you remember anything about Mad Hatters, they were making felt hats, and mercury was a part of the process. So they were getting mercury poison daily, and they became known as Mad Hatters. And I'm like, it's me. I mean, my levels of anxiety and irritability, anger, insomnia, every bit of it I had. I mean, the jumpiness. I mean, I spent so much time, like most people, looking. My thyroid, yeah, I mean, I had all those symptoms, you know, adrenal issues for sure, blown out. But like most people, I was doing everything that I could for those things. And some things would get better, but ultimately I wasn't. You know, so when I found the diagnosis of Mad Hatters, I thought, this is it. And I did a blood test, but it was negative. So it was like a year or so later that I was working with a very bright endocrinologist trying to figure out some of my thyroid issues. But the frustrating thing there was, is all my blood tests were normal. So, but yet I had all the symptoms, and there's a reason for that. But the fact was, is he said, you know, I think you have mercury toxicity, because, you know, you just, your body temperature was so low. I mean, you know, just, you know, you really need to look into that. And I said, I did. And when it was negative, and he said, wrong test. You know, I don't think you have an acute poisoning like the Mad Hatters. But I think you might have chronic, where it's, you know, deep in your tissue. So I did a challenge test where you measure it more in your urine after you take a chelator or a binder. And there metal showed up. And then it was enough that he said, you know, okay, you know, I think this is your issue. You know, I asked the obvious question, where do you think I got it from? And he said, do you have any silver fillings in your mouth? I said, yeah, I do. You know, and then he said, did you have any out around the time this happened? And I said, I may have. And sure enough, I did. It was days after that that the just massive fatigue started. And, you know, and I thought I was training too hard, honestly. And then it went from fatigue to digestive issues, couldn't eat anything, which was weird for me, headaches, insomnia, you know, debilitating anxiety at that point. So I realized, okay, it wasn't, I was training hard. Because at that point, I could ride 100 miles on my bike, no problem. I couldn't even ride 5, and it would just wipe me out, make my headache worse. But anyway, so at that point, I realized, okay, this could be my problem. So everything I teach today, and I've been blessed to teach thousands of doctors around the world, you know, my protocols, what I learned in that story. So it was a long, you know, process of learning how to get this stuff out of the body, and in particular in the brain. And that's really where many people go wrong, because these neurotoxins, meaning toxins that literally go after your nerve system, your nerves, and of course your brain, most people don't do this process correctly. Sorry, so my dogs, we may have to deal with that periodically. I'm not in my typical office, as you can see today. But, you know, it's a process that, you know, of getting it out of the brain. And it's why it causes so many symptoms that mimic that you're in fact just going crazy. As a matter of fact, I have to say this, I went, like so many people watching this, to so many different doctors, practitioners, and there was a good percentage of them that just wanted to give me a psychotropic drug,
Wow.
SSRI, serotonin uptake inhibitor, basically anxiety medication. I mean, you could put them in all of those categories. And, I didn't, because of my deep-rooted philosophy that there was an upstream issue. I have to get to it. But let me tell you, with that said, I did look back at times and say, maybe I should have been doing this. Maybe I should, so no criticism for anybody who's done that, because honestly, I really believe it was only my wife that was saying, no, you're going to stick to, there's something wrong. You weren't like this, now you are. Right. But honestly, I thought to myself many times, maybe I am just crazy. Maybe it just took this long for this to kick in. And, maybe they're right. Or maybe I do need the drug.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through those periods, and praise God, I'm here now. But, that I didn't do that. And praise God, I did find my upstream root, which now I'm blessed because I help people around the world dig for their root. It's not always mercury. In my case, it was. There's other neurotoxic sources that we can discuss that are hidden, and people think they're crazy, and just maybe it's a neurotoxic issue.
Wonderful. Can you talk about, what are the big ones right now that you're most focused on and concerned about that are really the most prevalent ones to look for?
Obviously heavy metals, I'm very passionate about heavy metals. That was my issue. Lead is another one, because lead is stored in the bone. And so oftentimes there's times of life where it comes out of the bone. It happened to my wife. I mean, my whole family, we have our story. You wouldn't believe it. And I don't have time to tell it all. But my wife, going through pregnancy, lead comes out of bone during pregnancy. It's normal to lose bone during pregnancy. It's very normal, but it's stored in the bone. And she had a lot of lead from her mother. And by the way, the number one cause of lead toxicity is mom. In utero, because you lose bone and it goes in utero to the baby, and that kind of starts that process. It came out during her pregnancies even more. And so she ended up with a lot of hormone dysregulation because of that. So that happens to women. And then even at certain times when we age, we lose bone, even for hormone reasons, estrogen adjustments, perimenopause. You can lose a lot of bone as that bone remodels, and out comes lead. And you may think, okay, what's going on? I mean, it happens all the time. It's very disturbing. And even as you age, sometimes the heavy metals will come out of the bone. So you have to consider heavy metals, but mold toxicity. I can't. I talked to someone today where I believe it was a mold exposure that started, triggered their problem. And I believe actually they even got out of that house, but all their problems started in a specific home. And I'll tell you, I've watched people go insane. Living in a moldy home. And part of the issue there too is it's oftentimes a perfect storm, meaning that you already have maybe an accumulation of heavy metals in your life from your mother, through other accumulations, right? And then you're in this moldy home, and that becomes a perfect storm, and boom, all of a sudden now you're sick, certain genes get triggered, autoimmune gets triggered, and you're wondering what's going on. So mold is hidden. You don't see it. It's behind walls. If you're living there long enough, you don't even smell it. Maybe other people coming in your home smell it. I don't know. And one last one that's typically missed is hidden infections. You get root canals, and they hold infection. And it can, again, may not even be why you got sick, but it could be why you're now not well, and it's manifesting into even further illness. Wisdom teeth out when you're a teenager. Takes about 20 some years, and now these infections build up. No pain, but these infections are devastating. To your brain and nerve system, and can cause this as well.
So now you're the real expert on detoxification strategies from these ranges of imbalances and things that we get exposed to. And when we talk, there's still, I think, a fairly rudimentary understanding about detox. You say that word, which is a wildly overused word, by the way, but people come up with water fasting, maybe some herbal remedies, a bit of a foot bath thrown in. They might go as far as sauna, steam. And there's a little bit more to it than that, isn't there? So people are making some tremendous mistakes, and maybe you could share just the big picture on maybe you'll just start with your three phases. Like, people doing things in the wrong order. So this thing about what there's an order to do things, that this is really critical. There's a lot of people who are getting more and more toxic. If you do this wrong and in the wrong order, you can make somebody a lot worse and worsen the brain symptoms, right? If they don't do it right, this has to be done right.
Look, Nikki, I'm glad you actually, perfect order here of questions, because that is the problem, is that people watching this, listening to this, go, oh, I've done detox, right? Oh, I address my heavy metals with cilantro, chlorella. Okay, that none of those are real binders. There's so many pitfalls in this process, one of which is not doing it long enough to actually make a difference. I pulled mercury out of my brain for years. So one of the things when I teach my doctors, or I even take someone on myself to coach, is it, my goal is to teach you the process so you can do it long enough to actually make a difference. You don't just clear this out of your body in 3 months, 6 months, and go, oh yeah, I'm done. But yet this is what I hear. Oh, I did heavy metal detox. Okay. You have to learn this process because it is bioaccumulated in your brain for many, many years, and it takes years to come out. So therefore, you don't need treated. You need taught this process. So I, my goal is always to, again, teach doctors, to teach the person the process, or if I have someone I'm working with myself, teach them the process. Okay, so that's pitfall number one. Has to be long enough to matter. You have to learn the process. To your point, if there's three phases. There's a preparatory phase. You don't just detox, right? You have to prepare the body for that. There's the cell. There's pathways in the cell that need to be upregulated for it to even be real detox. Okay, most people don't do that correctly. And we can get into this, in a moment, but my 5 R's is a roadmap of how you actually upregulate a cell to detox every day. When it makes energy, it just so you feel normal, you're making a toxin, you're making smoke. It's like burning wood in a fireplace. If you don't have the damper open, the smoke backs up. Well, that's what happens when these pathways are shut down. If you're making your own energy, you make toxins, let alone the toxins that are already accumulated in the cell. So we have to upregulate those pathways. Step one. All right. We have to open up downstream detox pathways, the gut, the liver, the kidney. We want to prepare that. Now, look, people say, well, shouldn't I fix my gut first before I detox? Look, you'll never fix your gut unless you detox. So you have to be doing these things simultaneously. You don't just fix your gut if it were only so easy, right? You can't. You have to prepare your gut, the microbiome, and then you're starting through this detox struggle. Let me give you an analogy. You have a river, and the fish downriver, and you just bought this new property, and you're very excited. The fish are dying, the algae blooms are dying, and so you spend money, and you dump all this money back in buying new fish, new plants. 3 months later, it dies again. You do that again, and you spend even more money, and you hire another expert, aka doctor. More probiotics, more supplements, right? And your fish die again, only to find out that 20 miles upstream, there's a factory dumping mercury in. And so here you were downstream trying to fix it all with the upstream issues. So my point is you have to deal and locate the upstream issues, what we were just talking about, as you're downstream trying to repopulate the fish, the microbiome, however you want to look at it. Okay, so prep phase is number one, and all that I just said is part of that. The second phase is a body phase where the goal is to clear the body to the point where you cleared enough that you are able to set up a concentration gradient. And I don't want to get too scientific, but things move from higher concentration to lower. If you remember back to your biology or chemistry, that's what happens. They move from higher to lower. So by clearing the body, we can ultimately get to a brain phase, which is the third phase. And then we're now having the help of it moving from a higher concentration to a lower concentration out of the brain, so to speak. So that process, step by step, is very important. And then once you're in this brain phase, it is years, not months. That's why you have to learn the process. And then another pitfall, Nikki, is people don't use real binders. So like when we enter into that body phase, they're trying to use these herbal binders that are weak. So they kind of pull, but they let go, and you redistribute the metal, much of which goes more into the brain, which is where the problem is. So you have to use real chelators that grab and don't let go. But the problem there is that people use them incorrectly. These chelators have to be taken so often, depending on which one you're using. They have to be, there's a frequency. You have to do it for at least 3 days. You know, some people do better with longer cycles, shorter cycles. So that's why you need a coach, you know, because it's not like, here, take this program, if it were only so easy. So you can see there is a process that I've learned in 20 years here, so.
Okay, and it's so important. Just something I've noticed that is interesting and why I came across your work. Because I'm working with trauma a lot, and a lot of the people that come to see me, I started to identify, I think we have an epidemic of pyroluria that's been brought on by stress in childhood. It means you're going to be zinc, B6, manganese, biotin deficient. So even if you don't have a massive exposure, we're all exposed to these toxins. If you get deficient in those nutrients, you're going to be building up the metals, right? But the problem is, you can't go straight into treat. You don't want to go straight into, oh, I'm going to address the pyroluria, because you've got zinc straight in there. That's phase three, isn't it? Like, if you're going to bring minerals in, if you haven't done all these early phases, I'm trying to get the message out to practitioners. I think we have an epidemic of pyroluria. However, follow Dr. Pomper says, you've got to learn his program, right?
Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, there's certain vitamins, minerals, to your point, that are depleted in this. But you're right. If you just start trying to take a bunch of those, you could be putting the cart before the horse, so to speak, right? So, yeah, purposely, we don't bring in higher dose minerals until later, to your point. And also, there's other things, right? Methylation is big right now. And people are, you know, it's kind of irritating because people are diagnosing them with the SNP. I'm MTHFR, homozygous, right? And I look, your genes don't make you sick. You know, you know, can stressors accumulate and trigger certain genes? Yes, but epigenetically, you can go right around those pathways. I mean, there's, it's not the problem, right? But yes, toxic people, I don't care what your SNP or gene is, deplete methylation. And once you do, now there's something I call the methylation priority principle, where you'll steal methyl groups to help detox, and you'll steal methyl groups to help get rid of even toxic hormones, and then now other pathways are being not methylated, and then you end up with high anxiety, for example. So, but all of that's considered, obviously, when we detox, but it has to be in the right order.
So with your the, we just talk about the five R's and a little bit of a summary of each of them. And yeah, it's really important, because people, when we think of detox, they're still thinking they maybe have got as far as realizing that actually, if you're doing detoxing and water, they're thinking water fasting, you're taking all the protein out of the diet, all the fats out of the diet, you know, and that's going to detox you. I mean, there couldn't be more opposite of what we need, right? I mean, let's talk about the, well, we'll jump to number two with the cell membrane regeneration, but start with number one, R1. What are your four, the four R's?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you're talking to someone who is, you know, teaches fasting as part of my multi-therapeutic approach. But in and itself, if you fast someone very toxic, they'll get worse. So there's a time and a place for these things, right? But fasting isn't a cellular detox in the sense. So to your point, my saying is you have to fix the cell to get well. More specifically, you have to detox the cell to get well. So I had said my five R's is that roadmap that I teach doctors, and I never thought it would be a roadmap that the public would, you know, be able to actually, you know, grab onto, but they have. They get it. Our number one is removing the sources. And I said, you know, we really have to pay attention to these really nasty neurotoxins that are typically missed, right? We talked about the heavy metals. We talked about mold. There's other forms of biotoxins that fit into that category. And then hidden infections, we talked a little bit about, right? So those are sources that we need to pay attention to. I mean, look, in sources also. I mean, are you eating an all organic diet? What are you cleaning with? I mean, those are sources too. We have to clean up people's lives. But it's typically those three big ones that are missed that, at least if you're watching this, you know, program here or this interview, that, yeah, you better pay attention to those three. Our number one. Okay. Our number two is regenerating the cell membrane. I just said, look, you have 50 to 70 trillion cells in your body. And the membrane is arguably the most important part of your cell function, but more importantly, of why you don't feel well still, why your hormones are dysregulated. Maybe you can't even lose weight, let alone have not have brain fog. The cell membrane is the actual problem. Now, Bruce Lipton, he wrote a book called Biology of Belief, and he finally got people to understand, I hope, that the intelligence of this innate, meaning inborn intelligence that's in our bodies that knows how to heal you, by the way, that intelligence is in the membranes. And you know, that's what people have to understand. That's how important this is. And I'll skip you the detailed science. However, I think everyone can understand this. What goes in your cell that you need to feel good, and what comes out, what you need to get rid of so you're not sick, all of that is determined by that cell membrane. So therefore, regenerating the cell membrane is something I teach seminars to doctors about. You have to regenerate the cell membrane, and that is R2. By the way, your hormone receptors, people are taking hormones to try to feel good, but it's the receptors that are on this membrane that ultimately your hormones have to attach to, get their message in the cell, and then you feel good, or then you burn fat, and then you not have brain fog. So the point is that when your membrane is inflamed, driven mostly by toxins that make their way in these fatty membranes and just inflame it, I don't care how many hormones you take, you're not going to feel well. All right, and that's R2.
Just a few things on the key things of what you would use to replace cell membranes. It's healthy, good, lovely, fatty, essential fat.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you know, then a lot of the dietary strategies I teach, what I feast, famine, cycling, you know, there's not one diet. Dr. Papa, what diet should I go on? It's not so simple. Varying the diet, a principle I call diet variation, is something that I teach people and doctors how to do to downregulate that cellular inflammation. But I think most people, just as a starting point to give your viewers where you start, get rid of all grains in your diet, not just gluten, because a lot of people transition to gluten-free. And then you have what I call super sugars, tapioca flours, corn starches, a lot of more dangerous, really things that inflame the cell. So you have to be careful. But getting rid of all grains is a great place to start, because there's many proteins that once you have a leaky gut and you're challenged, that you don't digest correctly and they inflame you. They drive your own immune system to attack itself. So getting rid of all grains in refined processed sugars, it's a good start. Then, you know, you can talk about getting fat adapted. You know, there's a whole, you know, process of getting your cells to forcing them to burn fat, which helps reduce the inflammation. But ultimately, it's not until we get upstream to that factory that's 20 miles up and get rid of what's dumping in that we can really control that cellular inflammation. But, you know, I do get people early on eating specific fats. This is another show, Nikki. You know, it's not taking fish oil. I'm actually very against fish oil unless it's in fish. The key to the membrane is actually omega-6 fats. Now, omega-6 fats have a bad rap because most of which is in the diet is in fact bad omega-6. It's rancid. It's what we call it, adulterated. And we have to get rid of those in our diet. That's things like vegetable oil, canola oil, and I would argue most oils that you're, you know, utilizing in restaurants. But the point is we have to get rid of those, and we need quality omega-6. It really is the magic in the cell membrane. And so raw nuts and seeds, grass-fed meats are places where you get these. And believe it or not, saturated fats are very important to stabilize the membrane too. So, and cholesterol. These are fats that may people watching this might think are really bad, but actually we need them. So grass-fed products are actually really important. Look, I mean, there's certain products that I recommend that can target those omega-6, but I don't want to sell a product, but just know that those dietary changes are important. So, and then quickly, I'll just say the other ones and then we can talk about it, but you have to restore cell energy. It's the key to detoxing the cell. When the cell loses energy in the place where it makes it, the mitochondria, you're not going to detox correctly. You have to restore that cell energy. I have a lot of strategies to do that. The R4 is you have to reduce the cell inflammation, the cellular inflammation. A lot of my dietary strategies do play into that. But again, if you don't, the last R is methylation. I mentioned it earlier, but reestablishing methylation pathways. All of those five things put together is really how we get the cell detoxing, doing what it should be doing naturally. These are the things that are broken in toxic people. So again, I'll repeat myself, to get well, you have to fix the cell. Those five R's are that roadmap, and specifically you have to detox the cell. Those five R's basically give us that roadmap on how to do that.
Okay, yeah, and so an R4, I'm just going to say, because just in case it was missed, because just for a brief second, the internet stops very slightly. R4 is reduced cellular inflammation, and then R5 was re-establish methylation. So, it's good to go through this because people need to realize that it is involved and they need help to do it properly. And but the beauty is, if you do it right, it does work, and you can get your life back and stop feeling like you've gone crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the point here, right? In other words, look, rarely, is it that, hey, the person snapped, they're just crazy. There, I believe there's upstream roots. You could look at somebody and say, well, they had issues from the time they were kids. Well, maybe they got most of their toxic input in utero. Because when we look at studies, there's a study called the giraffe study. Ladies, the number of fillings, is there's dark fillings. I don't have any, so I can't show you, but there's a, thank God, I used to have them. That we call those amalgam fillings, aka silver fillings. Those dark spots, those contain 50% mercury. And ladies, the number of those fillings that you had or have on autopsy studies, this was called the Duras study, was proportional to how much mercury they found in the baby's brain. So
Wow.
it starts there. And then mom, if you had high lead from your mom, by the way, it's four generations of inherited toxins is what it's estimated. And by the way, certain genes can get triggered from those toxins even in utero. So in how long are they triggered? Science shows about four generations. So we're talking about generational physical inheritance of certain toxins, genes that are triggered in utero for so many generations. Now look, there's good news. This is not doom and gloom. You can turn off these genes. You can get rid of these toxins, right? And that's the point I'm making. It has to be done at the cellular level. When we detox the cell, when we fix these pathways, the innate intelligence can turn off that gene that was triggered. It can get rid of the toxins, but it has to be done at the cellular level.
Great. And so can you talk a little bit more about binders, like which ones are some of the more effective ones? A little bit about, and what are the ones that actually people are maybe making mistakes with?
Great question. The ones that are very popular on the internet are Chlorella, cilantro. They seem to bind very well. But the moment you take them and they meet up with what is your microbiome, your bacteria, they're not great binders at all. And I used to say that Chlorella was at least a good gut binder. Well, as it turned out, it's not. When it mixes with the microbiome, it becomes a very, very weak binder, which actually can get you into trouble. So the analogy that I like to use is I don't know people from different countries here, but we have these street cleaners here in the United States. They go down the street with these very fancy brushes. And our tax dollars pay for these things. And if you've ever been behind one, you see this plume of dust going into the area. Only, to watch it come settling down back down on all the cars. And okay, that's what these weak binders do in your body. They come in, they stir it up, and then the toxins just settle out. The problem with that is that they redistribute. They end up crossing the blood-brain barrier, oftentimes connecting to other tissues, driving cellular inflammation in other parts of the body. So weak binders, very, very dangerous, and those are typical. Now, a lot of these 10-day cleanses, these herbal cleanses we buy in health food stores, they have a lot of these herbal weak binders. And you have to understand when you binders, some of them have what is called a thiol group or a thiol group, sulfur hydrogen, and really true binders have these groups in specific positions, typically double thiol groups. They grab on, they don't let go. That's a real binder. And weak binders, like a lot of these herbals, they may have one of these, or it's not configured in the same way. And I don't want to take anyone into their organic chemistry, but it becomes a weaker binder. So real binders have these things in a claw-like position. Here's the other pitfall. A lot of people will use real binders, like, and I'll name some, DMSA. The problem with that, really good binder. However, you have to take it every 4 hours. If you don't, you can create redistribution because it has a half-life in the body of around 6 hours. So what happens is if you're taking it twice a day or three times a day, it's going away very quickly and it's creating a redistribution of heavy metals. So you have to take it every 4 hours under its half-life, so it stays, the level stays up in your blood to where you don't redistribute. So there's another one called DMPS. It's a real binder, grabs on very nicely, but you have to take it every 8 hours. Otherwise you'll create redistribution. EDTA, it's about every 10 hours. So you know, you can't just take it once a day. So a lot of people get IV, they go home, and the chelator is now gone in maybe 8 or 10 hours. And all of a sudden now, across concentration gradient, toxins are still moving out. But the problem is they don't go out, they redistribute. So we have to keep people on these true binders or chelators for at least 3 days before we stop, so we can at least minimize that redistribution when you actually stop the chelator. So they have to be taken frequent enough to keep the level up so you don't redistribute. They have to be taken for a certain amount of days before you stop. And you don't ever stay on them because you'll exhaust your detox pathways. So you want to cycle them, whether it's 3 days on, 4 days off, 7 days on, 7 days off. You have to always cycle these chelators. I know it's a lot. I don't expect sick people watching this to grab it all. Just know there's a right way. That's what I want you to hear.
Yeah, that's why we've had you on. This is key. What about activated charcoal and the charcoal?
So in a product that I actually helped create called Bind, in my process, we upregulate the cell function via the 5 R's. Now, when we do that, many of the toxins will start moving out of the cell. We use a binder chelator called Cytodetox. It has particles that are really good binders. It grabs those toxins and it moves them out of the body, but a lot of them end up in the liver where they bind up with bile. And bile is used to digest fat in the gut. So a lot of the toxins are end up in the gut connected to bile. So there's a product called Bind that we use that stays in the gut, but its only job is to pull out toxins so you don't auto-intoxicate, because what happens is that bile that's holding the toxins that it picked up in the liver, it's meant to be reabsorbed in the lower intestine. So it brings these toxins back around. We call it auto-intoxication. So I created this binder. It does have an activated charcoal in it. Now, caution. It's an activated charcoal that is very specific, and it's so strong of a binder that if you throw it in the air, it sucks to the walls. The problem is many of these really strong binders are contaminated. This one is thoroughly cleaned, and it's pharmacy grade, and you can only buy it in really one source out of Holland, but it's part of one of the binders in that product. Most carbon on the market, charcoal, on the market. Number one, it's dirty. It contains lead and arsenic because a lot of it comes from the ground. Number two, it's about in the gut. So you need a super activated carbon. The problem is contamination, so you have to be careful. But that product that I created, Bind, it has four different binders in it, one of which is carbon. See, carbon and charcoal don't do a good job with heavy metals, actually. They do a better job with organic toxins like biotoxins from infections and molds. So we had to put other binders for inorganics like heavy metals in that product as well. So you need multiple types of binders. Let people hear that as well.
And yeah, but can I just ask about zeolite as well? Is that in Bind, or do you have that Cytodetox, isn't it?
Yeah, Cytodetox has a particle of zeolites. Now, zeolites, they're contaminated as well. They come from the ground, volcanic ash, and most of them have toxins. So there's a process that's very, very specific, and it knocks off those toxins, so you end up with a cleaner product. But zeolite is a big particle. It doesn't leave the gut like carbon. So part of the process, and I was not the brains behind this, was getting these particles, some bigger, some smaller, and we had to put them in a liposome, and we had to get the particles down even smaller to where they would cross into the cell membrane. So that product has small particles that are able to cross the gut but also get into the cell membranes, and it has some bigger ones that were liposomed to get across the gut but purposely not get into the membranes. So zeolites are great binders, but again, contaminated, and you have to understand that if you're just taking a zeolite, it's not leaving the gut, and it could be making you more poisoned.
Wow, okay. That's amazing information. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like, key points that you want to share with people? I'm going to ask about your program online and get you to share that, but anything else just Considering we have a large psychology community listening to the conference, so it's not the usual functional medicine group. That group's there for sure, but this is kind of new to them. And anything, they're not experts so much on the functional medicine side, but anything you'd just like to share that as key important
Yeah.
points.
So to the practitioner, doctor, I would say that, look, this has to be a part of whatever expertise you're doing. I want to say this, and this does speak to the public as well as the doctor. People get here physical, chemical, and emotional trauma. I'm always the one that says I'm not the expert in the emotional traumas, the trapped emotions. So most of you are that expert. I think the perfect combination is understanding that how people end up here is this perfect storm of stressors, physical, chemical, and emotional. Now, maybe it's no emotional and it's two chemical and a physical or three physical, but it could be a lot of emotional and two chemical as well. So always think about the perfect storm. If you remember the movie, The Perfect Storm, it was three weather fronts. Remember the George Clooney movie? I'm probably dating myself here, but the movie did a great job of explaining how these three weather fronts come together and it create a catastrophic storm. And, hundreds of people die, billions of dollars of damage. But this is what happens when someone ends up here. These three stressors come together in any combination, and then boom, the genes get triggered, chronic inflammation, and now here we are. So, whether you're a doctor or the person listening trying to get your life back, what were your storms? Trapped emotions. Well, oftentimes, where we have to dig up these trapped emotions, right? And most of you are the experts here. But oftentimes, it's these chemical neurotoxic sources that are a part of this perfect storm that, in fact, are missed, whether it's heavy metals, the biotoxins we discussed, right? The mold, the hidden infections, that has to be considered. And oftentimes people they're under a lot of just even physical stress at the time, working, not sleeping. Any of these stressors, the body doesn't know the difference. But when we put these stressors together, that's when it happens. That's the perfect storm. So how do we fix it? We have to look at it and we have to remove these stressors. I mean, imagine all of us having a certain size bucket, right? When that bucket fills up, starting in utero, I think I made that point, and going through life one day. It overflows, and now you're here, right? That was me. That day that they went in there and drilled out two silver fillings, that just spilled my bucket over. But looking back, I had accumulated these things from the time I was in my mom's, utero. I look back, my mother had these signs of heavy metal toxicity, honestly, and then I went through life. I wore contact lenses in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s that had thimerosal, which is a mercury derivative, in the saline solution. I was putting that in my brain. So I had many sources. Thank God I didn't get a lot of vaccines. I didn't buy into flu shots. Who knows where I'd be? But the point is that my bucket overflowed the day that silver filling was drilled on and it vaporized mercury, but it was accumulating before that day. So it could be that mold exposure. It could be the root canal. You have to evaluate all of these stressors in light of this perfect storm. Whether you're a practitioner or somebody looking to get well, that's your way out.
Superb. That was brilliant. Thank you so much, Dr. Pomper. Brilliant information. It could just awesome. So do you what where do people go to find out more about you have a superb online program that people who are not the practitioners can go and do. What are your offerings for practitioners and for the general public, and where can people find out about it?
Look, I mean, there's my TCD program, which a lot of practitioners utilize in their practice. If you go to my website, drpompa.com, there's a place there for practitioners. There's all of my video, my podcasts. You can access my book, even health coaching. You can click on that if you're just looking for, something like that. So, I mean, there's so much information there. I just start there. Dr, like Dr. Dr, and then pompa.com. That's probably the simplest way.
Wonderful. That's so good. Thank you so much. I have got your program. It's brilliant. I brought it into my clinical practice, and it's just super important. And I hope that more practitioners also pick up more than they already have done and bring it into their practice. So thank you so much for the journey that you've been on, the fact that you've covered and shared it with the world. So thank you for that, and thank you for taking part in the summit, and thank you.
Thanks for having me, Nikki.
Okay, everybody, take care, and we'll see you in the next episode.